Well, the octave of Easter ends on Divine Mercy Sunday, but that doesn't mean our Easter celebration is over. In fact, in the Catholic Church, we get to celebrate Easter all the way to Pentecost weekend. Well, joining me today to help us continue this celebration is Terry Ross. Terry is the host of the Glory of the Mass. And on Glory of the Mass, Terry brings forward beautiful sacred liturgical music, well, from composers mainly from the Renaissance era. He's joining me today to give us a preview of another great episode and another one to celebrate, well, the second Sunday of Easter. Good morning, Terry. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, good morning, Brenda. It's very nice to be here, as always.
Terry, we have been talking over the last couple of weeks that there are so many choices for you during this Easter season. All of the composers wrote music for Easter liturgy.
That's basically true, yes. I can't think of anyone who didn't. Even composers who we don't think of as in the Catholic tradition, like Bach, wrote music for Easter.
Well, on today's preview and on your upcoming show, you actually are also highlighting another composer, one who is mainly known for secular music, but also wrote a mass. Tell us about our composer this week.
The composer that I have chosen is one we haven't done before on Glory of the Mass. Named Jacques Arcadelt, A-R-C-A-D-E-L-T. He was a Franco-Flemish guy. That is, we would call that area Belgium now, I suppose. And he lived about the same time as Palestrina in the 16th century. In other words, the 1500s. He was really known during his time as a writer of secular vocal music, especially madrigals. He was one of the first practitioners of madrigals. But he did also write sacred music, including the one we're going to hear in this program, the Missa Ave Regina Caelorum, Hail Queen of the Heavens. Interesting thing, we call this a parody mass because he used another person's music to base his mass on, an earlier piece by a Spanish composer named Andreas de Silva. And de Silva wrote a motet called Ave Regina Caelorum. And so Arcadelt picked up that melody and used it for his mass. And that makes it an interesting program. I think the mass itself is very beautiful. Arcadelt is a very skilled composer, and I was really happy to be able to finally plug him in.
So explain this a little bit more. So he found this particular piece of music from this Spanish composer and then put different words to it, or he kind of elaborated on that to create the mass?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. The mass has, of course, its own words. Kyrie, Gloria, etc. Those never change. So he had to adapt that music to fit the text of the Mass.
Okay. And then again, remind our listeners about the difference between those regular parts of the Mass and then those parts of the Mass that he has to create because the words are specifically or the text is specifically to that week.
What we're talking about here in this Mass is the Mass Ordinary. The Kyrie, Gloria, Credo, Sanctus, and Agnus Dei. Those all have a text that never changes throughout the year. In between those pieces are what's called the Mass Proper, where there are pieces written for specific times of the day. Those derive from the old monks' idea of singing different things at different hours, the hours of the day.
Got it.
And so we have the Introit and the Gradual, the Alleluia, the Offertory, and the Communion. And those have specific texts, but no particular music attached to them. So people can do what they want about that.
And Terry, we've talked also before in previous interviews that all of these motets were not written in their local language, but they were all written in Latin.
That's right.
Did composers, along with their music classes, have to take language classes too in order to be fluent in languages other than their own?
I suppose they did, yes. But most of these composers grew up in the church as church choir singers, that sort of stuff. And part of that would have been lessons in Latin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if any of you are like me trying to do just simple language classes in high school and college, that is no easy task. So that's quite impressive, not only to be able to learn to speak another language, but to also be able to use it and write beautiful liturgical music.
It's easier for kids to do it than college kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, Terry Ross is joining us today. Terry is the host of The Glory of the Mass. We are continuing our Easter celebration on this second Sunday of Easter, also known as Divine Mercy Sunday, coming up. Well, Terry, we've picked out a beautiful piece again from this composer. Tell our listeners a little bit about who he thinks is so beautiful.
He thinks that Mary is most beautiful. O pulcherrima mulierum, most beautiful of women, you have stricken my heart. And this text is actually from the Song of Songs.
Okay.
And it's so it wasn't written about Mary, because Mary didn't exist when the Song of Songs is written, but it's been adapted by the Catholic Church, like the rest of the Song of Songs, to be appropriate for Mary.
Okay. And then so this this madrigal, or is this a motet that we are about to hear?
It's a motet.
Okay, so this motet that we are about to hear, remind our listeners about the title, and again, what does that mean?
It's all O pulcherrima mulierum, O most beautiful of women.
And I'll say this, it is as beautiful of a piece to listen as I would imagine Our Lady would look. Here is a piece of that orchestration. Quite beautiful. Now, last week on our preview, we listened to a song that was, you know, rather upbeat and light because, of course, it's the Easter celebration. Now, not that this one is somber, but it definitely has a much slower pace to it. Mm-hmm. Is that also part of the writing of the music that the composer has in mind, the tempo at which this is to be played? Or do music directors now take these pieces and change them around a little bit to have a different sound of it?
They change them around, but they don't change the notes. But they may speed things up or slow things down.
Okay.
You know, or add more voices at certain points. But this would be sung pretty much that way by any choir nowadays. That was a chamber choir from France singing that.
And how many people would you say, just hearing that, were probably in this choir singing that piece?
Just listening to it, it sounds like there were about 8 to 10 people.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible that I can't hear but just a couple of voices. So that is actually quite amazing.
Could be 12, you know, three on a part. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, beautiful. There's so much that you learn on Glory of the Mass. So much I continue to learn, Terry, with all of our preview interviews. So I appreciate this one again. And thank you so much for your time. We're looking forward to this special episode.
Thank you very much, Brenda.
And again, that is Terry Ross. Glory of the Mass comes on every week, and you can also hear the podcast on the Hail Mary Media app. And if you go to our webpage under the programming menu, you will find Glory of the Mass, and there you will find all of Terry's episodes and the playlist so you could follow along while you listen. You can find that information on our webpage, materdeiradio.com.